couldn't stand right here. Because I didn't want to see Brother Gordon try to go up the steps. I'd like to see that.
You want to see it?
Of course, the next speaker is Brother Dan Gordon. I met Brother Gordon pretty soon after I met Brother Hugo. I met Brother Gordon in 1995 at the Home Baptist Church Conference. Second speaker of the first night. I'm glad to call him my friend. My friendship has grown for close to 30 years. Thank you for you pray for him as he comes up to preach.
Amen.
It's good to be here. Always enjoy immensely coming here at this conference. Again, we see Jesus. Oh, how we need to see him. His person, his work, his glory are all the subject in the message of this book. And when we open this book, we ought to see him. And if we don't, we're missing the whole point. Throughout our earthly course, we need to be always seeing him. We need to see him in such a way that transforms and shapes our thinking, our attitudes, and our lives. And really, if it doesn't do that, we really haven't seen him. If we see him, that'll happen. We need to see him. We need to see him. We too would like to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Our messages will overlap quite a bit. We'll read verses 6 through 10, and then we'll also go to Hebrews 12. Begin reading with verse 6. But one in a certain place, that's David, in the 8th Psalm, testified saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, speaking of our creation. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, speaking of the dominion that man had, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him. But now we see not yet. We don't see that complete dominion. I mean, a mosquito can kill you. We don't see that complete dominion. But that's the important phrase there. We see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels with the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar verse, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, and we'll stop there, looking unto Jesus, the author. The setting of the book of Hebrews is one of struggle. That's the whole setting. It's a struggle. The letter, of course, is addressed to Hebrews who had been gloriously saved by the amazing grace of God. As a result of that, they were leaving the Jewish religion, which was a religion of formality and ritual, a works-based righteousness, and they had embraced Jesus Christ. As a result, they were abandoned, they were disowned by their family and friends. They would become outcast. They would become the objects of scorn. And there they are, living in the midst of incessant threats, persecutions from their unsaved countrymen. And this would bring much turmoil and difficulty into their lives. And just like you and I, all of these things would work upon their minds and would cause them great disturbance. And in addition, there was the pull to go back to the former life. And in addition to that, they had the discouragement of witnessing many who professed to believe depart from their profession of faith and return to the old ways of Judaism. And again, these things would work upon their minds, causing them distress. So many of these Hebrews were struggling. There's some are struggling between the forms and ceremonies of their old life in Judaism and the life that they're now called to live. And the writer of Hebrews writes to encourage these people, to motivate, to stir them to persevere, to go forward, to advance in the spiritual life, to go on following Christ no matter what. And I believe our text is a part of that encouragement. It's a part of that motivation to keep on, to press on. The book of Hebrews really is a call to continue to advance spiritually. It is a call to ascend spiritually. And this in the face of very difficult, trying, and even threatening times. And again, the text is a part of all this. Our subject is pressing on, seeing Jesus as the captain of our salvation. Normally, in the part we read there in Hebrews 2, I would approach that in an expository way, but we won't tonight for time's sake. We'll begin with a brief synopsis of the text. It's very difficult for me to give a brief synopsis of the text, but we're going to do that. Prior to chapter 2, and Brother Hugen brought this up, the writer of Hebrews had declared in verses 1 and 2 that Jesus was the ultimate revelation of God, superior to the prophet. Verses 3 and 4, the character of Jesus is set forth. He is the exact representation of God's nature. And he sustains everything by his word. And following his offering for sin, he is at the right hand of God, the exalted, victorious one. The writer then proceeds in verses 5 through 14, to declare Jesus to be superior to the angels, who, of course, were messengers. But he is the very Son of God, exalted in heavens. In relation to this, Jesus, the last words of chapter 1, are heirs of salvation. Talking about us. talking about the elect of God. So in relation to Jesus, there are these heirs of salvation. Coming to chapter 2, as Brother Hugin pointed out, the opening word is therefore. That introduces a practical application of what he said in chapter 1. The application is, in the light of the fact that Christ is superior and will have final triumph over his enemies, we would do well to pay more careful attention to these realities. And the danger is that if we do not, we will drift away. That is, we'll get off course. We'll get off course. He then proceeds to speak of the danger of neglecting, paying little or no mind to so great salvation. And again, as Brother Hugin pointed out, it's not a great salvation. It's not even the great salvation, but so great salvation. That little word so cannot be adequately defined. You cannot adequately define that word. You cannot adequately measure it. It is a word used in an attempt to express that which cannot be expressed. Express how great salvation is. You can't do it. It's not possible. So you use the word so. Salvation is a deliverance. Salvation is a release. Salvation is a rescue. Salvation is a sparing. Salvation is a transformation. It is a deliverance. It is a setting free from the bondage and from the slavery and from the misery and from the imprisonment of sin and Satan. So great salvation. It is deliverance from the curse of the law. It is a deliverance from the power of darkness. It is a deliverance from the wrath to come. It is a passing from death unto life, and it is the bestowal of unlimited blessings from God. So the writer of Hebrews, when describing the salvation, just says, it's so great. It's so great. So the thought of salvation has been planted. The thought of salvation has been planted. We're the heirs of salvation. We have a so great salvation. And then in verse 5, there is a return to the subject of Christ being superior to the angels. In verses 6 through 8, there is a reference to a portion of the 8th Psalm. And without going into detail, it really paints a picture of the failure of man. He's lost his dominion through sin. But then there is a shift in focus, and I believe also in tone, verse 9, but we see Jesus. And that's God's answer.
Amen.
And it's still God's answer.
That's right.
So, what we see in verses 9 and 10 is God's plan of salvation through this one named Jesus. It is a plan that has its basis in the character and the sovereignty of God. That's why it's so sure.
Amen.
We read in verse 10, for it became him. The him, grammatically, goes back to God in verse 9. That's what him goes back to. So verse 10 is speaking of God the Father. What follows is a declaration of his sovereignty. We read, for whom, notice that word for, For whom are all things? All of creation is for him. Salvation is for him. The plan of salvation. It's all for him. For whom are all things? It's all for his glory. And then we read, by whom? So you have for whom, by whom. In other words, he's the cause. He's the cause of creation. He's also the cause of salvation. Amen. That thought has already been planted. So it is, it became him. That is, what is about to be said was fitting to him. It's fitting to his character. It's suitable to him. It's the outflow of who he is. And then you see the activity of God in bringing many sons unto glory. That's God's plan. He has these many sons, which are the elect, and he's going to bring them unto glory. Notice, the many are his sons. Oh, what love. And this is fitting of his character. 1 John 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, the sons of God. Again, bringing many sons unto glory. That's God's sovereign plan. He has his people. He's going to bring every one of them unto glory. He's not going to fail. There's not going to be one missing. They're all going to be brought unto glory. We don't have to make our way to glory. He's bringing us to glory. And he's doing that right now. And he's able to fully carry out just as he's planned it. So how does this come about? How does he bring these many sons to glory? Well, that goes back to verse 9. But we see Jesus. He's the center of God's plan. With regard to him, it is said that he was made a little lower than the angels. That is, God partook of a body of flesh. It's talking about bringing these many sons to glory, how it comes about. God partook a body of flesh, came from the glories of heaven, to the sin-cursed earth. And he came from the adorations of heaven to the abominations of earth, to the condemnation of earth, to the persecutions and the miseries and the poverty of earth. Never has one stooped so low as Jesus Christ. And he came fully qualified to save. He came with the righteousness, the cleansing, the forgiveness, the pardon, the peace, the acceptance with God that I needed. He came with it all. And he laid down his life for those he came to save. In doing so, he paid the sin debt of who? Well, the heirs of salvation, for one. That's who he's referring to. And the many sons. And he paid this debt to the complete satisfaction of God the Father. Though innocent himself, and though without fault, for many sons, all of them, every one of them, he allowed himself to be found guilty and condemned. Though he himself was without sin, for the many sons he was made to be sin, by taking their sins upon himself. And he laid down his life so that the many sons, you and I that are saved, could have life. He laid down his life. And he rose victorious from the grave, conquering all that stood in the way. Sin, Satan, death, and the grave. And he would ascend back into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of God. And there he is. At the right hand of God as the honored one for his people, as the accomplisher of his work, as the conqueror of our foes, as the channel of blessing to us. And this was done to make the captain of their salvation. Again, as Brother Hugin said, he was already the captain. But to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferance. Not perfect in character. It's not talking about a moral perfection, but it's talking about an official perfection as our captain. As our captain. It is Hebrews 5, verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. And this came about through sufferings. Amen. It is through him that the many sons are brought to glory. Now, the word for captain is archigos. It's translated prince in Acts 3:15 and Acts 5:31. And it is the reason we read Hebrews 12:2, it's translated author in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto the author of our faith, which is the same as saying looking unto the captain of our faith. As captain, he has authority. He has all authority in heaven and earth. The church does not have all authority. They have as much authority as Christ gave them. He has all authority. Church doesn't have authority to do that which is not commanded of God. He's our commander. He's our example. From Isaiah 55:4, he's a leader and commander to the people. The many sons, if you will. So he's our forerunner. The message to these Hebrews who were struggling is don't lose heart. You keep going because you have a captain that has already traveled this road. And he is victorious. He sits at the right hand of God. So let's look. That was a brief synopsis, and it was. He is our captain. Let's look at him as our captain. God's plan and purpose of salvation is perfect. A salvation to the uttermost. He is able to save them to the uttermost. That's the only way he does save them. Not saved any other way. He, without fail, bring every single one of the many sons unto glory. There will not be a one missing. They will all be there. And he'll do this through this one named Jesus. That's his plan. And this Jesus is the captain of our salvation. It's this Jesus that came to us when we were estranged from God, when we were without God, while we were living our lives under the dominion of Satan and living in the realm and under the power of darkness. It's this Jesus that came to us while we were deceived and ignorant and blind and hardened and in enmity with God. We were criminals against God. And we were striving against God, whether we realized it or not. We were rejecting. We were resisting God. We were unrighteous. We were ungodly. We were bankrupt spiritually. We had nothing to offer. Nothing. We were lost. We were attempting to flee from God. And there we were, helplessly trapped under this weight of sin. Just sinking deeper and deeper into the destruction and the loss and the misery of sin and death. Securely held by the chains and shackles of sin, we could not possibly escape. But we see Jesus. And Jesus came and broke the holding and binding power of sin. And Jesus raised us up from a spiritual grave. Jesus lifted us up under the crushing weight of sin and death. He brought us out of the depths of our unrighteousness. You know how deep that depth was? The depths of our unrighteousness. The depths of our wickedness. The depths of our alienation. The depths of the darkness that we are in, and the enmity and the bankruptcy and the condemnation. He brought us out from the depths of the filth and the vileness and the wretchedness of our unsaved condition. That was Jesus that did that, delivering us and freeing us from the destruction, the misery, the sickness of sin, delivering us from the curse of the law, delivering us from the hand of divine justice. And it is through Him, it is through Jesus, this one who saved us, that God will bring us to glory. Amen. He's not going to fail. He's not going to fail. Jesus, my Savior, my Redeemer, my shepherd, my friend. He's almighty. He's immortal. He's immutable. He's impeccable. I believe in the absolute impeccability of Christ. That's another message. He's omniscient. He is the creator and sustainer of all. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's mighty God. He's King of kings. He's above all, over all, and beyond all. And He's the captain of our salvation. And through Him, we will be brought to glory by a sovereign God. This is a fail-proof plan. It cannot fail. We say with Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our captain. Satan did everything in his power to try to prevent him from coming into the earth. That's the whole Old Testament. It's Satan trying to prevent Christ from coming into the world. Satan could not seduce him. Oh, he tried. Herod couldn't stop him. The Pharisees couldn't silence him. Droves of men could not defeat him. And there he is, at the right hand of God, victorious. And it is through him that God will bring us all the way to glory. saved to the uttermost. It's certain through him will be brought to glory. You think about our captain. It was by his authority and power the demons fled. The most powerful were brought to nothing by him. Disease and suffering overcome by him. And through him will be brought to glory. There's nothing that can stand in the way. It's a sure thing. This Jesus, who is the captain of our salvation, is greater than any problem.
Amen.
He's greater than any trial. He's greater than any difficulty. He's greater than any need. On our way to glory, there are some rivers we might have to cross. But our captain is greater than any river you will have to cross. And it is through him that we'll be brought to glory. So you see how this would be encouraging to these Hebrews who were struggling. He is greater than any wall that might appear to stand in the way. He's greater than any giant that might challenge us along the way. He's greater than any storm you'll have to go through. On our way to glory, you're going to go through some storms. But you have a captain who is greater than any storm you will ever go through. He's our captain. He's greater than any wilderness we might have to go through. On our way to glory, we will pass through the wilderness of this world. And then there are some wildernesses of our own making. But he's greater than any wilderness. He's greater than any pressure, than any weight you and I may come under. People all the time today, oh, I'm under so much pressure. Oh, so much pressure. He's greater. He's greater. He's greater than any hurt. And on our way to glory, we're going to experience some hurts. We're going to experience some pains. There's going to be some heartaches. That's the course to glory. But through him, who's greater than all these things, we will be brought to glory. He's greater than any weariness you and I might feel. He's greater. He is relevant to our lives. And it is through him that we will be brought through this world to glory. Saved, saved to the uttermost, destined for glory. And there's nothing that can stop it, because God's plan is perfect, God is sovereign, and because we have a perfect God. Nothing can stop it. That's our destiny. Now we'll briefly make some application. Again, the setting of Hebrews is struggle. In the life of child of God can be quite a struggle. We have times where we struggle. We struggle with ourselves. That's the setting. You can't go through this world without a struggle. Our course to glory, which is certain, our course to glory is through this world. And it is a world that is sinful. Don't be surprised. The world is sinful. The world is wicked. The world is twisted. The world is corrupt. It's defiled. It's vile. It's depraved. But that's how we get the glory through this world. It's marked by hatred. Well, I don't understand why there's so much hatred in the world today. It's the world. The world is marked by hatred and selfishness and pride and bitterness and anger and jealousy and lying. Let's be honest, we're affected by these things. Deception, manipulation, betrayal. Well, I feel like I've been betrayed. You have a captain that was betrayed. The world is filled with perversion. The perversion of the world doesn't surprise me. What shocks me is the attitude of God's people toward the perversion. The world's filled with abomination. The world's dysfunctional. It's chaos everywhere. Blasphemy, heresy, irreverence. But it's through this world we must go. The world is filled with Satan's traps. There's Satan's darts. There's his lies. There's his deceptions. The world is secular. Our society is secular. Don't lie to yourself. Oh, we live in a Christian nation. No, you don't. No, you don't. You live in a secular society. Therefore, conversation is secular. What is most the conversation in the house of God? Secular. The world has secular ways, secular thoughts, secular views, secular perceptions. And these things are always trying to obstruct and pull us in. And it's a struggle. You'd be lying. Oh, I don't have any problem with it. You're lying. And the world seeks to control and paralyze us in our course to glory. But there's Jesus. He's the captain of our salvation. And he's already walked this course. From Bethlehem to Calvary. His course was marked by hunger, thirst, weariness, humiliation, sorrow, attacks, slander, false accusations, hatred, scorn, rejection, betrayal, and injustice. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, he's despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Despised, rejected. Sorrows, grief. He was wounded. He was bruised. The chastisement of our sins was upon him. And we read of his stripes. And he was oppressed and he was afflicted. In verse 11 of Isaiah 53, there was the travail of his soul. But look at him now. Look at him. He sits at the right hand of God, victorious. And he's our captain. It is through him that we will be brought to glory. A salvation that cannot fail. And we come to Hebrews 12, verse 2. We see in verse 1 that our course through this world is described as the race that is set before us. And we're to run this race with patience or with endurance. Walking through this world is no easy thing. Never has been. Requires much endurance. And in verse 2, we're told how we endure. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the captain. Looking unto Jesus, a steady, fixed, intent gaze. It's our eyes locked upon Christ. Look unto him to see what he is. Oh, we can get caught up. Brother so-and-so did this. Sister so-and-so did this. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. Look to Jesus and see who he is. He is. Look to him to hear what he speaks. To do what he says. To follow where he leads. It is a submissive, it's an affectionate looking. Looking unto Jesus. It's the heart occupied, captivated, mesmerized by Jesus Christ. That's where you find strength. You're not going to find it anywhere else. That's where our strength is. That's the key to enduring. That's where we find comfort. That's where we find hope. If you're looking today for hope in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or any other political party, you're a sad individual. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. We will be brought to glory through him. And the victory has already been won by the captain of our salvation. And we would be wise to just look to him. Turn away from everything else and look to him. When you feel yourself being distracted, when you feel yourself being pulled off course, look to him. And let me tell you something. You cannot look to him if you're not going in his direction. You can't look to him going away from... I almost just took a step right off. Look to him. Look to him. That's how we're changed to his likeness. He's our example. Follow him. Follow him. He's our motivation. Oh, how blessed to be one of the many sons. How blessed. Brought to glory by the way of our captain, Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. We will recognize fully that it is through him. We have a captain. We have a sure destiny. Let us not live defeated lives. Let us not be so disappointed that it derails us when things don't go our way. We have a sure destiny. I'm saved. And I'm saved to the uttermost. I'm saved
to the most and beyond that, to the uttermost. How wonderful to be a son or a daughter of God.
Let's stand. If you're here tonight and say, would you, as best that grace will allow you, commit yourself to consistently pressing on and following the captain of your salvation? These two have underscored so well the thought that I had on my heart as we see Jesus. And I pray that, myself included, the focus for the rest of the evening, as much as possible, would be Jesus. In our motivations, in our conversations, in all that we do, may we remember these messages and prompt others to remember and have a little iron that sharpens iron. I know how quickly the conversation turns, and I'm as guilty as that. So we will be dismissed. We'll have some snacks over on the other side. When you walk into the fellowship hall, look for the refrigerator. Turn right. You'll find snacks. We would ask that you keep them in the fellowship hall. Don't bring any of it over here. We would also ask that none of our visitors go into the new building. It's not done yet. We will open the doors tomorrow for lunch, but the building is really not ready for serious occupancy. So we'd ask, we request respectfully, let that be off limits, especially to the children. There's still some dangerous things over there. Remember, Lord willing, and we're still on this earth. Tomorrow at 10 a.m. we'll start our song service. And then Brother Dan Taylor will be our first speaker. So you'll be praying for him, Brother Austin, Brother Garmer, Brother Titus. You'll be praying for these men as they prepare to stand before us tomorrow. And continue to show us great and wondrous truths of the captain of our salvation. So we thank you for coming. We're going to ask Brother Kevin Humphrey to dismiss us in prayer and ask him to ask the Lord's blessing upon the snacks. And again, we thank you for coming. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
So we follow, Lord, as we just bow before you once again this evening. Thank you, Lord. The safe travels that we had to this place, Lord, and pray these be those that still may be on the road this evening or tomorrow, Lord. I pray to keep safe travels. We thank you for this church and the willingness to put forth the effort to host this. Ask you to bless them for it. We thank you for each of the men that has brought messages so far. We thank you for the words, and we just pray to help us to see you more and more in our lives, Lord. More importantly, we see you as our captain of our salvation, Lord. And for those that may be here today and lost, we pray to help us to be a witness to them, Lord, and that they may see you through us. We just thank you once again for all the men that will be bringing messages to our Lord. We pray to bless them, give them the words they stand in need of, give them the wisdom and the thoughts that they need to give us the hearts to hear it, to receive it, apply it to our lives. We pray to those that couldn't make it, that plan to, Lord, we just know that they desire to be here, but for whatever reason they weren't here, we just pray bless them. We thank you now for the time of fellowship that we have, and the food and refreshment that we can use it to bless and nourish our bodies, Lord, that we may go away from this place full of your word, full of the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to go to the next one.